What more do you want from me?
I don't want peace. I want problems, always.
The hunt is on, and you're the prey.
Welcome to another edition of Office Hours with your brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones. I am your brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones. And welcome to another Philly Friday extravaganza here on Fet Life Station at FetLifeStation.com. You can also catch us on Mixcloud at Mixcloud.com/FetLifeStation. It's MixCloud.com, Fet Life Station. You can also catch us on many of your streaming apps and podcast apps. Just follow us at True Crime, True Stories. That's the True Crime, True Stories Network. And you'll be able to catch us and catch up on all the episodes that we have popping off from the various different podcasters and broadcasters on the network. So I know you all are you're all chilling, and I appreciate that. Appreciate you pulling up. As always, y'all know we shoot from the hip over here, but we keep it, you know, we keep it on point. So you know, your brother is enjoying his 51st spin around the globe still. just falling back, you know, I don't do too much. You know, I'm not much for the outdoors these days. You know, I'm at home, and I like being at home. And I really have most of the comforts here and where I live at, so I ain't got to do all that street stuff, like, you know what I mean. And hearts and thoughts goes out to our family out in Chicago. Recently suffered a drive-by shooting in a lounge, and I believe it's in North Chicago, where 14 people were shot, and I believe 4 were deleted. So, you know, hearts and prayers goes out to those folk, as well as everybody locally, you know, that are suffering through traumatic and violent experiences. Man, we need to, you know, create situations and circumstances that alleviate the stress and tension in our society. For some people, this is their breaking point. For some people, they've grown up and they're programmed, and this is a lifestyle. And for some of us, you know, we sort of gotten away from the humanity that we should see, or that we should that we should understand in dealing with each other. There you go. It's a banger, but it's banging a little too much. All right, so I want to also speak on an incident that happened locally. There's several incidents that happened locally within a stone's throw of my front door. One happened in the Knightstown area. Excuse me, in the Knightstown area. So I believe it was Sunday morning. And what day was Sunday morning? Let me see real quick. So it was Sunday morning, the 29th of July. And there was a terrible explosion that happened in the 1700 block of Bristol Street here in Philadelphia, where three houses were totally demolished, gone. They pretty much just a debris and crater where homes were. We had three people who were directly impacted. One of them didn't make it, unfortunately. And, you know, these are all three women who were home alone in these house. And the terrible, tragic irony is that one of the deceased was the daughter of one of the other victims of the explosion. Now, they're still trying to figure out what happened, but as of now, you know, and I'm not sure what the number is, but I know that it was seven houses in total, including the three that were lost, were considered condemned and unlivable. So that people had things in those houses, they couldn't even go back into those houses to retrieve their items as they were relocated. And it was a sad scene. You know, I was one of the, I'm not sure whether you would call me a first responder. I know my brother Tom Stubbs was a first responder. And, you know, childhood, family, you know, we were from down here, area, but, you know, he also has a ministry. Excuse me. I hate when I get on I'm talking regular all day, and then as soon as I get on the air, all of a sudden I have to keep clearing my throat. I don't like that. You know, it's a nuisance. Has me talking raspy, and that's not my regular voice. But the my brother Tom still, like I say, he has a ministry, and these were members of his ministry. My good sister, Dr. DeShonda Williams, was also one of the people helping to coordinate the activities. I myself, a crisis counselor with Emir Healing Services, was so we were on the scene offering, you know, support and trying to help people, you know, rationalize the trauma that they were going through, and just, you know, just being there, being a support. But I want to shout out some people, man. In a time like this, in a crisis, and you know, first was there's been healing circles all week long at Steele Middle School, which, by the way, is and that's on Wayne Avenue. But Steele Middle School has been ground zero for all the first responders and the relief, you know, headquarters. And so while we saw very, very paltry response. Well, I'm going to get to that in a minute. Shout out to the mayor's office. You know, she has, she's come in, and so Cheryl Parker, she was able to make sure that when she pulled up to the hospital, that the people who were injured and survived, they got the premium care. And, you know, shout out, salute to that, you know, being on the spot, you know. I know it's her job, but still, you know, you still appreciate that. Councilwoman Cindy Bass, her team was all over the scene, as well as and my good brother, who was one of the you know, administrators in her office, my brother Sean Smiley, who was out there providing gift cards for people who needed to, because the entire block lost power for the majority of the day. We're talking about a day it was 90 degrees outside. So the block lost power. They lost access to their gas utilities. So there, a lot of people's food went bad in the refrigerators. So there were gift cards being offered, a limited supply, but nevertheless. Then we also had State Rep Sharif Street, whose office is right around the corner. He came through. So, I just wanted to shout out the people that showed up. Now, the Office of Emergency Services, I believe, was down there, and they were just talking about how they were pretty much trying to coordinate the investigation and coordinate all the things that were, all the details in terms of people being able to have their homes assessed by the fire department. So it was a lot going on. Meals were provided for the people, of course, and this was done by the community. It was done by Cindy Bass. That's her district. So she made sure that the people had, there was a food truck that pulled up and provided meals to the families that were affected. The entire block was affected. I mean, when you go through the devastation, the pictures show no justice of the devastation that took place. It's almost like a Predator drone missile was dropped onto this house. Like, we were in a third world country. And not only did those houses that I mentioned got affected, but the explosion blasted out windows for half the block and the block behind the affected people, the affected homes that were destroyed and demolished. They were literally pulling people out of the rubble. So shout out to the people that were there. I want to speak on something too, because our people, and I'm talking about black people, but if you're from down the way, black, brown, or whatever, you can feel this pain. Our people have a resiliency for which they responded to this. Nobody got violent. A few people were upset visibly, because many of them lost like the moment, and I'm not sure who actually was, related to the people that were injured and the ones that lost their life. But for the most part, the people were resilient. And they were treating us like we're gonna be all right, It's just, just one more thing to overcome. And it was in one moment you're like, yeah, that's us, we tough. You know what I'm saying? That's how we handle stressful situations. We don't bend, we don't break. You know what I'm saying? But then the other half of me was really impacted. And then I too had to deal with being traumatized by the fact that our people suffer so much that when a tragic situation occurs, it's just like, yo, this just one other thing. Like, it's just another day that ends with Y. And it was just troublesome to me. I mean, the people was, showing love, and especially the brothers on the block. Got to give it up to the brothers, who they were all sitting outside, showing love and just expressing appreciation, because it felt good for them to see people who cared and came through and were asking them if they were okay, providing, trying to provide them with just a little comfort, little resources. Sometimes you just need to know that people give a damn about you. So everybody that was on the block, but I'm speaking particularly because it was a group of brothers that I had directly spoke with and engaged with on the block that were dealing with this and they were just rocking out. And so, yeah, so that's something that I wanted to speak to. Oh, one last thing too. And I'm glad, shout out to my sister, Dr. Williams, who pointed this out. The Red Cross needs to be addressed for a lot of reasons. We know that they handle things in an unfair and unbalanced way, as evidenced by receiving all those millions of dollars in Haiti and only building four houses during the earthquakes that happened a couple decades ago. And also creating a pathway for a lot of those children to be stolen from their parents and kidnapped from their parents. Many of them were found on planes to Israel. So so when the airplane crashed a few months ago on Cottman Avenue up in the Northeast, where you have a predominantly white community, they had set up an entire emergency station. They had the computers out. They were providing resources. They were giving people PIN numbers, code numbers, so that they can call into the Red Cross, and they would be on file as needing help, resources, and assistance in terms of housing and other things that they supposedly, you know, they get all the credit for. Why did they show up with like 2-3 workers? And they were just writing everything down on paper. It was so like it was just a lack of care to an urban emergency, an emergency that happened in a predominantly black neighborhood. This is a dominantly black neighborhood. It's crazy work. And then the very next day, right across Boney's Field, we all call it back road around here. If you're from Erie Ave, you know. There was a trucker, there's a truck that was driving, I think it had propane, a propane tank. It's a tanker. And according to the news reports, this tanker, which was parked right outside of a recycling facility, a recycling plant, hit a pothole and exploded. So no houses were harmed, were structurally damaged from what we know so far. But then you had a similar situation where the windows are blown out in several houses on that block. And this comes in place because a lot of people at this time, they're struggling to just pay their rent. Many people, some of them are homeowners, but they don't have insurance. You know how much insurance these days for a homeowner is almost as much as a car note. That's something we need to take into consideration. So I want y'all to just pay attention and be a resource to your people. Keep these things in mind so we can educate our families and friends about being prepared for disasters and emergencies, because even insurance companies are scammers these days. We need to get out of the funk, because I'm not even going to say we need to start having play things where we educate people. People have to actually want to be educated before they become educated. We have to awaken them from their slumber. Right now, many people are just, they're not living, they're just existing. And they're doing whatever they can to hold on, because life is hard these days, and I make no bones about that. But we're gonna get into some other things, because you know, as we things are snagging on everything over here, you know, as we transition to the next point of the show, you know, because we always do that. We always do the transition, right? So let's get it, man. So I want to talk about a few things that have been prevalent. You know, I had a conversation with my brothers, and I always tell y'all about the conversations we have. And a lot of the conversations we've been having lately is about the dearth of masculinity in the black community. Now, this is not just a black issue, but it's an issue that we need to address as black men in our community, because, you know, the whole notion of getting there. One is astounding when you, especially when you talk to brothers and you ask them, one, who taught them how to be a man? Which is a question we never ask in the community. The assumption is you just become a man, like we're instinctual, like animals. manhood is not an instinctual act. It's something that needs to be harvested. And it needs to be harvested from a man, sometimes groups of men, who know the measure of the world, who know the responsibility that a man is going to have to take on when he moves out here in society. So, and not just society, but to be a productive member of society, also to be a productive man that's going to lead his home one day, lead his wife, lead his children, and then be the one to sort of like maintain those, break the chains of the generational curses that we've exhibited so far. Of all these single and unwed homes that we have children in, and them not seeing the men. So I want y'all to look, think about that, and I want y'all to check this out, right? I want y'all to check this out. This is the Crimson Cure. And our good sister from the Crimson Cure, Kendra Davis, I want y'all to pay attention to one of the, because she does a lot of, I won't call them shorts, but they're like clips. And so this one's about 10 minutes long, but I want y'all to hear some of the things that's going on here. And yes, we are going to react to it. So.
Hey, all my Crimsonites, and welcome to the Crimson Cure channel, where we embrace our femininity, increase our womanly values, and celebrate our brothers. So join me on our feminine journey to learn, heal, and grow. Hey there, my Crimsonites, and welcome to the Crimson Cure channel. I'm your hostess, femininity coach, and author of The Crimson Cure, and this is my perspective. So I just want y'all to listen to this video. Just take a listen. I'm not even going to do a whole big preamble.
A wife before the mother of your kids has to be the absolute lowest thing a man could ever do. How can you put a woman who can just become a nobody to you by signing a piece of paper over a woman who's attached to you for the rest of your life? The value of a baby mother is so much higher than a wife. It's crazy that men don't understand that. And it's sad that a woman has to tell y'all how to be good men. And the fact that some of y'all might disagree with me on this one just proves that we are all failing as a society.
Now, y'all hear the point she's making, right? I just wanted to point that out to you. So, listen, because this gets interesting.
It's really selfish to think that you're going to be put before a woman who bared a man's child. Y'all wives really need to know y'all place, and being number one is not it. I'm tired of y'all thinking that y'all come before the BMs. We were here before, and we're going to be here after. And any female that doesn't...
The infamous... smoke detector.
And agree with this, it's just a pick me. I know that sound crazy as fuck, right? Yes. Yo, people on Facebook gotta chill. Ain't no motherfucking way you feel like because you had a nigga kid, you come before his wife.
Yeah, she spun that on y'all, didn't she? Alright, there's more.
Y'all is crazy as hell. I'll never be that delusional. Putting your wife before the mother of your kids has...
She had you, didn't she? And, but she is correct. She's correct in that is the delusion. That's actually the delusional part of it. And it's gotta be a real thing that a lot of chicks think, because y'all invest so much in becoming baby mamas and avoiding being wives, that's got to be true. That level of delusion has to be real. You literally believe that birthing out a man's child gives you this ultimate right to still be a part of his life in a closer way other than co-parenting. Like, what proves the delusion to be correct, as she stated it, was the fact that when y'all think of having children, y'all don't think of a marital household. Y'all think of co-parenting.
Yeah. And let me tell you something about that too, right? Because every once in a while, for shits and giggles, I peruse dating apps. Now, I am not interested in internet dating whatsoever. Let's just be perfectly clear about that. If I don't really meet you in person, or if we don't have a mutual friend, even now, I've learned from my last relationship that don't trust the mutual friendship. yeah, that's you know, because I thought I was getting into to something good, and she was
I don't want peace. I want problems always.
So I learned from that. But one of the things I think that's very interesting is how many women on dating apps let you know up front they have their proud mama and their children come first. I'm like, well, maybe you should finish raising your children before you get back out here on the dating scene. But I digress.
When you ask a young woman right now about children and things of that nature, she will most likely not talk about having children within the confines of a marriage. She'll talk about them and say, you know, hopefully me and my baby daddy will be able to co-parent and things of that nature. The fact that that's now the default.
That's not just now the default. That's not just now the default, by the way. All right. And let me put my music back on because we can do this. That's not the default. The default, I mean, it's the default, but it's not just now. We can go back to the crew of 1986 out of Newark, New Jersey. And I always refer people. I know that it's a different name. The documentary is a different name. I think it may have been a PBS documentary. But the documentary itself focused on a black high school in Newark, New Jersey in 1986. And it started off there anyway. And it was a room full of young teenage or pregnant moms to be. And only one of them in the room, out of a room maybe 15 girls, said that she wanted to marry the father of her child. The rest of them said that they can do without, that their mothers were single parents before them, so a man is really not important in terms of the black family. And this is back in 1986 now. Like, it was published in 86. So I'm not even sure if they had the interviews, maybe, you know, because it takes time to edit and produce the film. So they were saying this way back then. This is not the new default. This has been the default. One of the girls in that documentary was a third-generation teenage mom. Third-generation teenage mom. She was sitting on the steps with her mother who had her prior to being 18 years old and single. So I'm just saying, man, let's not play that game where it's where it's a single, like this is a new phenomenon. This has been the expectation for the longest.
For the younger generation to think of children in the context specifically of not having a marital relationship or a solid relationship with the man that they're having children for speaks volumes about how we have failed as a society. She was absolutely correct. She was absolutely 100% spot on in her assessment of how delusional that thought process is, because when you listen to her, you're like, what? What is she talking about? But that's how the chicks think. That's literally how they think. That she's supposed to always have access to the baby father. She's supposed to always have access to his finances and to him. You know, be in his business, be in, you know, like, know certain things about his household. Because, well, my child is coming over there, so, you know, I got to be privy to all of the different things that's going on in your house with your wife, which the only thing that she should be concerned with is the treatment of the child, right? If the child is coming with the dad and being with the dad, and the dad found another wife or another woman or whatever, the only thing that the mother should be concerned about is whether or not his wife treats her child fairly. No mistreatment, no, you know, abuses or anything like that.
And I'll go further along. If the shoe was on the other foot, when the shoe is on the other foot, would that woman accept being a second fiddle to a man that has children and to his children? Because I know men who women said they could not commit to them because they had children and they felt like the children would come first, especially men who had custody of their children. The women did not want to come second fiddle. I know because I have a special needs brother and I don't like to put my information out there too much. You know, some sick people out here in the world that wish nothing but harm upon you and your people. But I know that there's been several instances where the women have sort of tried to segue circumstance and situation to have that person, you know, my family, my flesh, my blood, who I'm committed to, removed because they didn't want to share me with him. You know, so when the shoe's on the other foot, though, that we don't seem to get that sort of response. But I'm gonna let it go on.
As long as there's no mistreatment going on with the child, then everything should be okay. But that's not what they think. The fact that our younger generation of men and women want a co-parent.
And that's my one issue with this. Sister, you're talking about the women. Stop always trying to juxtapose. It's men and women. We know. But you're focused on these because what you do is you create an escape clause, an escape hatch for the accountability that you claim to want these young women to accept in their lives. How can they accept accountability when they can continuously? All they're looking for is an out to blame somebody else. We know accountability when it comes to accountability and the women in our community, right? We know, right? What does it sound like, y'all? What does it sound like?
Oh, it burns! Oh, it burns!
All right, so let's stop doing that. Let's stop doing that. So, in fact, that's sort of like the end of that particular clip, because I want to go to another clip. And shout out to our good brother, the Medium Man. Medium Man, this brother is talking about. Well, I'll let y'all hear what he's talking about. Hold on.
What makes you think talking shit about the men that y'all want to marry is going to change their minds? What type of logic is that? You're not going to shame them into marrying black women. That's not how it works. If I've ever done this in regards to a statistical video, but today we're actually going to pull up a video that was posted by Revolt, and it's called The People's Brief. Before we get started, let me go ahead and give credit to the man that actually sent me this video, because I know in these spaces I've seen black people that say, well, why are you checking for our content anyway? Bro, I wasn't, okay? It was emailed to me like a bunch of stuff, and I felt it was necessary that we do a statistical drop responding to everything that was said wrong in this interview. So this is sent to me by, well, I'll say C. Walker. He said, check out this conversation. And the title was Black Men Plus Becky's. Why do black athletes always date white women?
Let's be clear about something too. Medium Man is right down the middle. Now, he's somebody that always addresses both the men and the women in our community. So, and he is heavily laden in the stats, statistical breakdowns, and the significance of the statistics as they go against the narrations, the false narrations that are self-evident. And we have discussions, especially bad faith discussions in the Black community.
Preference, proximity, and power. The people's briefs. I was not checking for this. The young man from the Grits and Eggs podcast. I don't listen to his content because, like I said, I'm going to see how this plays out because of the fact that, you know, what he said about all Black men taking accountability for the small minority of men that approach Black women or something like that. After that was made, I made my video and I blocked the brother on all platforms because I ain't got time for this foolery. It seems like every time a Black man takes the stance of holding other Black men accountable, it always sounds like pro-Black women because they never acknowledge the other side of the conversation. And I think I do a fairly good job of, you know, talking to Black men when I need to talk to them. We F up, I talk to them. But for some odd reason, the people who hold this title of holding Black men accountable, they always forget the other side. And I'm like, I wonder why that is. But anyway, this is my first time seeing this young lady that's going to be the lead of the conversation. The young man, Deontay Kyle, he didn't really say much. He let, you know, the two Black women take the lead on this. And before we get into this video, man, I'm going to tell y'all like this. This was, I'm not going to lie, it was triggering. Because of the fact that I looked on Revolt's platform, they have, I believe, 4 million? No, they have 3.19 million subscribers, 3.19 million subscribers.
So what he's referring to is their ability to influence the masses. And what we know about, especially when you're dealing with people who are fundamentally arrested in their development in terms of maturity and so forth, and also who are easily influenced by what they hear and see in the media, because with that arrested development also comes intellectual laziness and the lack of the desire to actually seek the information, to check the sources, to make sure that the information is correct. So this is why he's addressing the Revolt channel, because it's just throwing out these anti Black male misandrist talking points with no obstruction, no other points of view, no one is countering this. And then you have it endorsed by a serial panderer who's gotten famous because he recently had a video that went viral. So I'm not even going to mention his podcast because I think that's wild. Anyway.
And for these two Black women to get up there and blatantly lie about the statistics to the point that it was troubling to hear. When I got this video, I was in the gym and I was working out. I had already hit my 1,000 calories burned mark and I was finna, you know, keep going. But then when I got sent this video and I put it on, you know, in my headphones as I was doing some tricep pushdowns, and I was like, oh no. Nah. I was like, this is embarrassing. Black community, we got to do better. Because I don't understand how we can continue to leave Black women out like this, man. Like, and I'm not saying that in a bad way. I'm talking about, man, if they're failing in certain areas, we got to say something. Because it doesn't help if you continue to let them think that everything is perfectly fine. Because in the future, this is going to come back to haunt them. You guys already see it with the lost jobs. And I've been doing my level best to be cordial and try and explain this stuff as best possible. But I understand that you say that you want to hold Black men accountable. But the things that you're trying to hold Black men accountable for, they don't apply to us in the Black community. They apply to Black women.
I want y'all to understand that, because that's been the basis. That was the reason why I started having these conversations back in 2014, 2015. That is the reason why I started having these conversations for what he just said there. Need y'all to understand that. This is why I come from it from the perspective that I come from it. If you want to fix something, you have to address the goddamn problem. And we're too, well, I'm going to let him tell you.
And that's where you need to start. You need to start with who needs the most help first. And by far, that's Black women, based off of the things that you mentioned. And I get it. I played my video where I said if all these things were wrong with Black men, I would completely understand why Black women don't follow Black men. They don't think that we're leaders, so on and so forth, because of the fact that this narrative has been pushed that Black men are deadbeats. We make less money than Black women. All these types of stereotypes that are completely untrue. But if your group of women believe that, then they have every right to be like, man, I'm not following this group of men. But if I'm telling you the statistics say that none of that shit is true, y'all gotta acknowledge it, and you gotta tell Black women. Because the longer that you perpetuate this narrative and make Black women think that Black men are bad, it's not gonna help. And the reason why we're having this conversation is because y'all talking about the issues that you have with Black men dating white women. Why do you think that is? And why is it always the fact, well, something must be wrong with those Black men? Did y'all ever stop and think, and hear me out real quick, listen to any Black woman who has an issue with Black men dating or marrying out. Did y'all ever stop and think, if you believe that Black men, they're just overlooking you guys, wouldn't it be fair to ask, well, if Black men don't see the good in these Black women, these suitable Black women, then I'm sure other races see the good in these Black women. But if we know statistically that that's not true, then it has to be a problem with y'all, not with the men, because it's not just Black men that you say are picking white women. All other races of men are picking other women outside of Black women. So how can you say just Black men have an issue when no other race of men are picking Black women en masse? So if no men are picking Black women en masse, then you got to look within. It's something that y'all are doing. Stop.
And that's the bottom line right there. And see, that's why, you know, I don't like the kryptonite. Like the kryptonite comparison when it talks about, you know, women when it comes to accountability is like, you know, kryptonite. No. That's assuming that they're all Kryptonians, that they're all superheroes, boom, boom, boom. No, these are just average people. So it's a much better comparison to me to say it's like vampires to sunlight.
Oh, it burns! Oh, it burns!
But I'm going to let my brother keep cooking because he's on fire right now.
Stop asking Black men, why are they dating out? Start asking Black women, what are you willing to do to change? Because nobody's selecting Black women like that. So it's not, forget us, F us. Think about Black women. What would you say to Black women in order to get them married at a higher rate? What would you say to Black women to make them more suitable for marriage? Again, forget Black men. This ain't got nothing to do with us. I would honestly be more inclined to listen to conversations like this if we can make a counterpoint by saying, well, Black men are passing up Black women. However, Hispanic, white, and Asian men are marrying Black women at a high rate. So that means that Black men hate their mothers. That means that Black men hate their own skin. Black men want to assimilate to white culture so they don't pick Black women. If that was the case, I would be far more inclined to listen to any arguments. But the statistics show that that's not true.
And I want to go on with that too, because the counter to that has always been that Black women are choosing not to date other groups of men, that Black men are excessively loyal to Black men. That's absolute bullshit, because you wouldn't be calling the police every time you had an argument with a brother. You wouldn't be sitting here taking the brother through the ringer and child support if you were actually trying to work with those brothers, if Black men were truly your first choice and option, and you were that loyal to the race and the community. That wouldn't be the case. And those are just the two off the top that we can go to. We can run down the list of misandry. We could listen. Fuck, you don't need to hear from me. You listen to black women. Listen, this is what goes on in marriages in the black community, right? And I've heard these in person, so I know this ain't a lie. Listen to Yala Van Zandt in this little clip.
Children, the ones that I did not create, they're allowed to do what you do. They sleep all day. They don't come out of the room. They don't do what they need to do.
Wait a minute, hold up. I want you to come over here. I want you to watch this. Let me show you something. Go sit over there. I have a little concern because your sons are not demonstrating that they are learning to be the kind of man I know you want them to be. They're going to demonstrate the kind of man you teach them to be. And I'm not really sure what to do about that. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
That's how you do that. The woman has to talk to her man to get him to move the way she needs him to move. You're not going to get nothing with that.
And all you see in this clip is a woman that's full of rage and hostility to the point where you can tell that she did not want that to be the way the exchange went. She wanted to unleash on him the breath, fire and brimstone of a dragon that's been awakened out of this slumber after sleeping under a mountain on a pile of gold for hundreds of years. And this is why, you know, we say we have these problems. But brothers, I'm going to tell y'all something. Well, I'm going to let Media Man tell y'all something, but I want y'all to, because this is something else we also deal with right here. Right here. This is with something else. We do it.
I'm not listening to man. I'm so sorry.
If you was in a long-term relationship with a man, would you want him to take full control over the health and wellness in that relationship?
No.
No?
Why is he telling me what to do?
What if he knows a lot more about fitness and health?
He doesn't.
No?
Now, this is a woman with like a triple neck, talking about a man that's healthy and health and wellness wouldn't know what anything better. Y'all know this is live fourth coming up, so wouldn't know anything about health and wellness. And she wouldn't listen to him. Why should she listen to him? We're not even gonna listen to no more of that garbage. But I'm gonna let the brother finish talking because you know we're getting to the end.
So you have no. It's no point of asking black men based off what you believe is happening when you should be asking black women, what do they need to do? What do they need to do and or change in order to increase their marriage rates? Because from what I gather from black women on social media, and I'm using social media because in this interview, you guys reference social media and how prevalent it is. From what I hear from the majority of single black women, they don't want to get married. Nobody qualifies. No man qualifies. They want to focus on their careers. They want to get this money and they want to live free. They don't want to follow a man's lead. They want partnerships and things of that nature. You not on my level.
Y'all just heard it. You just heard it. Why should I listen to a man? Y'all just heard it. You just heard it. All right.
Level. And stop me if I'm lying. And I've been doing this for about 4 years. And I swear to you, I came in these conversations in good faith. Not even gonna lie to y'all. But now I'm completely satisfied with saying that there is a definite disdain for black men.
This is a brother that like he said, he came in here and actually people in the red pill community, people in the black manosphere community actually were highly critical of this brother based on a lot of his content, his points of views and things of that nature. My, has the world turned. Listen.
Straight black men. I won't say homosexual black men because we got two homosexual black men talking mess about straight black men right now. One is perpetuating this dang lie that white men and black women are the best couples. The same narrative that I've been debunking for the past, 2-3 years? So again, black community, forget black men. If you believe that all these affluent black men are marrying out, then shouldn't you ask black women what do they need to do and or change in order to get those black men? Because once again, and I'm going to repeat myself, before y'all get upset and before you try and insult me and shame me and foolery like that, think about what I'm saying. If Hispanic, white, and Asian men were marrying black women at a high rate, and we just seen all these affluent black men not picking black women, then you would have a case. But that's not true. None of the men are picking black women. So shouldn't you ask black women, what are y'all doing out there? Hell, I posted that picture from that Pop the Balloon show. Did you see how that woman went off on that young black man about his preference for longer hair? Y'all, the black community, man, y'all, and I'm starting to think that a lot of black men are scared. Y'all pussy.
He said it right there. Because the majority of black men are not red pill. And it's you ninjas that are the major problem as to why these women still have a refuge to act the way they act. It is your problem. You are the one. I'm going to let them hold on. Let them finish cooking.
Y'all straight up pussy, man. Tell them the truth. It doesn't help to pander. Tell black women where they lack so you can help them.
And I'm a black nationalist. My whole purpose, and I think that might be enough for the brother. My whole purpose in having these conversations was because I saw the dire need to fix what was wrong in the black community. That we were, if you want to talk about, like, there's this thing called the atomic clock, right? And the clock speaks to, well, it's called the doomsday clock. The doomsday clock speaks to how close we are to Armageddon, nuclear Armageddon. And for a long time, the shit was at like 11:59. At 12 o'clock on the doomsday clock, everything goes kablooey. Right? Everything goes boom. Everything goes. So we're at 11:59 and 30 seconds, family. Black women are failing at an enormous rate. We tried to warn you about what was going to happen. The fool's goal that your education and all your entrepreneurships and all these people talking about, we're going to sponsor all these black women and businesses and so forth. We're going to put pour and invest millions of dollars into the women in our community. But you pandering Negroes are out there still talking about women having to suffer and sacrifice because the men have left them. When women are choosing to be single mothers, single unwed mothers, the average life expectancy, the average life expectancy of Americans, period, right, is at, I believe, at 78.4 years. For white women, for white women, it's 87.1. For white men, it's 75.8 years. For black women, it's 74.6 years, right? For black men, 67.7 years. Think about that for a second. Black men live a whole decade less than white men. And black women, because of the hardships you've chosen, you live a good 7 years fewer than white women. Choosing this life, the stresses that it takes to be a black man. And this is why when black men say we just need to be, you know, we need to take more of a strain, take more of the weight off the women. No, you simps.
You need to hold the women more accountable. That means you brothers have got to stop being so thirsty. That means you ninjas have got to stop being able to be twisted and turned just because you think you might get a sniff and a whiff of that kitten. And I'm tired because we're sitting in a situation right now where the young men coming up are out there literally unaliving each other on the whims of these women. Out there putting their lives in danger. Out there working themselves to death because of you pandering Negroes talking about, well, you know, a man's responsibility is to shoulder the whole load. And get what in return? The level of hatred and disdain the women have in our community. What does that woman say? A man can't tell me shit. I'm talking about black men. Because that whole tone and attitude changes, at least early on, when she's dealing with a white man, dealing with a Latino man. God forbid she ever falls into the graces of an Asian man. And they only see them as sexual beings. They, you know, for all the people who talk about, well, black men are fetishized by other women. Everybody is fetishized. When you talk about you want a man that's a certain height, when you talk about you want a man with a certain length of penis, you're fetishizing. A man that can provide you a certain lifestyle, you're fetishizing. It's all a fetish. But brothers, it's our fault. Because collectively speaking, as this brother said, you are not, you don't have enough courage to tell these women the truth. You're afraid of being ostracized without being liberated. Let the truth set you free, black man. Let the truth free you from the chains and the bondage of misandry that's killing us on a day-to-day basis, that's making you hate who you are, that's making you go out there, you say you want to be a better man, but for what? You want to build up your bank account, but for who? When I say go out there and improve yourself, I'm not talking about doing that for nobody else but you. Because you should have a purpose in life. You should have a reason to get up every morning. You should have a reason to fight for life. A man who is on his purpose will never lack from the attention of women. But a man who makes a woman his priority will never achieve anything purposeful in life. God damn it, I said it. So Jermaine?
I'm done with life. And it's all Jermaine's fault. It's always Jermaine's fault. I'm done.
It is your fault. But not for what you think. It's your fault because you're not holding everybody in your life accountable, especially the women. And if you can't hold the women accountable, if you're afraid of their wrath, then you don't deserve to walk around and hold your nuts like you're a real man. You might as well slice them things off and leave them on a goddamn kitchen counter. And with that, family, I wish you all peace, safe, love, and happiness, and good health. May you be prosperous. May you land on your feet. And if you ever fall, maintain the ability and stability to get back up. And as I always say, war and peace. Because if you want peace, you better be willing to wage war for it. And with that, I am out of here.